Oh, Brooks Avenue Church, you're very, very special people. But I want to first say, God is an awesome God, and He makes all children special. And I wanted to entitle this morning, Special Children, Needy Parent. Because that's exactly how it's turned out to be. Now, my family could not make this journey, but I know 8 years ago, I was contacted by phone because I'm not sure how he caught wind, but Brother Barry Woodhouse caught wind and called me and said, would you please come and be a part of our special needs carnival? And at that time, we had just moved from Minnesota, which actually been here 10 years. I got 4 more years to thaw out. From being up in Minnesota, but he called me, he said, would you please come, and he had just opened up his heart, opened up the ministry, and really treated our family in such high regard and blessed because of it. And I know you're blessing a lot of families too. And then Melinda took the baton and is keeping this ministry just thriving. And what an outreach to a community. Because I tell you, parents and families of special children feel so on an island that they wonder if even churches want them. They wonder if their children is being too much of a distraction. And so they stay home. But I want to introduce to you this morning my family, since they didn't get to come here, and some of them might have not, of you might not have got to meet them throughout the years. But this morning I want to introduce you to my three girls. This is Megan to the left. She's our oldest. She's 23 years old. She was in a battle with pneumonia in the month of February and March, where we stayed over at Baptist Hospital and let God do His work through the doctors there. But while she was there, she developed a bed sore that was pretty nasty. She cannot sit up for a long period of time, and so they could not make the trip with us. But these are my three special girls. But one of the things about children is that they develop a characteristic in them. And the best way I could do is just to find some pictures that kind of describes their character. Okay, so I'm going to start with Megan. Megan just graduated actually from a special school that serves special children. You could go up until you're around 21 years old. We did not know that that school was there when we moved from Hickory. That's how awesome our God is. And Cammie is a part of the PTO, actually been a president of the PTO for a long time. But Megan had to graduate because she turned 21. And now she goes to an adult life program. But Megan is my hero. Megan is very calm. She's totally opposite of her dad. She takes a lot of the characteristics from her mother. She is very calming. She goes with, takes things in stride. But I will have to tell you, she has enjoyed North Carolina immensely because she absolutely loves basketball. If she could be able to play, I believe she would be wanting to be on the Olympic team of the girls' wheelchair basketball team. March is her favorite month. And thank God He healed her to get her home in time so that we could fix a place for her so she wouldn't sit on that sore area. And she watched game after game after game. And boy, you could just see her smile from the back of the room. And so she loves basketball. She's a very, very calming person, though. but she gets really excited during that time. Our middle daughter, Kaylin, she was born in the year 2000, and actually that picture to the left is her moving in her dorm room at Lipscomb University. She is now a freshman at Lipscomb, and Megan wanted me to tell you to, Dennis, you'll enjoy this one, go Bison. Did you hear that they made it to the NIT in the final, and did you know the teams they had to beat to get there? So, but this is her going into that dorm. She is very artistic. She can draw anything. Again, she does not take after her dad. I can't draw a stick man. She can design a whole lot of stuff. She's a freshman there. Be praying for dad, because I'm an overprotective kind of person. And next fall, Lord's willing, she's going to be spending her fall semester going to Lipscomb in London, England. And so pray for me, because I'll be staying at home crying most of the time. So, but that's our middle daughter, Kaylin. Our third daughter. Whoops, got the picture out of line here. Actually, wait a minute, that's my fault. Actually, here's her character. Okay, Cammie does not want me, or not allow me, to get a picture of herself. So I found this picture. Supergirl's on the left looking at Wonder Woman. So Cammie is Wonder Woman and Kaylin is Supergirl, because she's absolutely watching her mom and dealing with raising our two girls. So there's a characteristic. Here's our third daughter. Morgan is a hoot. She takes more after her dad. She never stops moving unless she's asleep. She's always, always moving. And now I have to say, isn't that the cutest face that you could ever see? But don't let it deceive you. Here's her characteristic. Morgan destroys everything. And she's even got her utility chair over to the screen pulleys and actually pulled them down before in our sunroom. So I just wanted to introduce you to our family. Now you might be saying, well, what about you? You got Wonder Woman, you got Supergirl, you got the girls' basketball player, and then you got Hulk Smash. What about you? Well, the only thing I could say is, since Cammie doesn't really like me to show pictures, I did slip in a picture of us singing at Christmas time a song that Cammie's mom always wants us to sing, and it's called The Greatest Gift of All. And so we sing that together. So here we are singing at Christmas. And that's my character. So. All right, now, let's get into the Word. There's a concept that I had to learn. When Megan was born, I didn't know what it's like to be a parent of a special child like her. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what I was going to face. The only thing that came to my mind was fear and feeling that there is no way I will be able to provide for the family like I would like to provide for them. But there was a concept that the Lord taught me that I did not know at that time, but He had to remind me through His Word, and He spoke volumes in this verse. Isaiah prophesied in chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, Kevin, neither are your ways my ways." As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. How could I learn that? Then when Kaylin was born, Cammy decided that she felt like, well, since she is healthy, she felt the family was incomplete, and she wanted to have a brother or a sister to go alongside of Kaylin and learn from our special child, Megan. But when Morgan was born, actually, Morgan was born with the same identical abnormality of her genetic design. It's just 7 years later. So we kind of tell people there are identical twins 7 years apart. One blessing in it is they share the same doctors because they have the same issues. They've been through spinal fusion surgery. They've been through surgeries on their eyes. They've been through surgeries on their Achilles tendon. It's been surgery after surgery after surgery. We almost lost Megan 6 years ago because this past year was a second battle with pneumonia, and the one 6 years ago just about killed her. And I kept pleading to the Lord, I'm not completed. I need more training. Please give me Megan to continue to train me. Now, I heard that the church here is focused on disciples making disciples. And that's one thing I want to at least add to this. Is how does that happen? Well, first of all, I thought I was a disciple for a very long time, but I started to realize I was more of a member of a church than I was a disciple of Jesus. And you have to really dive in and really look into the mirror of your heart and find out where you are in your walk with the Lord. Is my walk with the Lord a personal walk? Is my walk with the Lord crying out to Him? Is my walk with the Lord willing to give my whole life for Him? But I found out that I did the right things. I was a nice guy. I was the all-American boy being raised by an all-American family. I was able to lead singing. I was able to wait and serve on the communion to people, and those are great things, church. Those are privileges. But one of the things that I caught myself in is I was truly not a disciple, a learner of Jesus. And so I just want to give you briefly some of the things that I've learned from my special two children that I don't know that I would have learned without them. And that is what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus. I had to learn, Kevin, before you can make disciples, you have to be a disciple. You can't make them without being one. And so, become one. How'd that happen? How is that happening? Well, first of all, God's calling me. He's calling me to follow Him. It's actually Jesus coming up to you and I and saying, Kevin, come and follow me. But where I'm going is not the most comfortable place. I'm going to lead you to the cross. And I want you to understand, as you have, I believe somewhere, I think it's in the gymnasium, yet I believe you got it on your family newsletter about Luke 9:23. That was a pivotal change in my life when God spoke to my heart and said, Kevin, if you're going to come after me, if you're going to be my disciple, then you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me daily. Not one day a week, not just in front of people, but I mean daily, walk with me. Come and follow me, but where I'm going to take you is not easy. It's actually going to be extremely hard, but I will bless you along the way. I will change your attitude. I will change your being. I will change your character. I will call you to live a holy life. I will call you to live in harmony with other believers. And I will call you to humility. Are you willing to follow? To the cross, bury your old life, but be resurrected to a new one. I will have to say, when I was baptized at 13 years old, I got wet. And that's all happened. At 21 years old, I was taught what it was to be a disciple. And then, as being a disciple and practicing that, then I was baptized into Jesus Christ. That led me to die to myself, to bury my old life, and to be resurrected to a new one to live. Amen. And it hasn't been easy. It's been extremely difficult, but it's been extremely rewarding because I've had the privilege to love and to cherish three special children. Far too long, we as churches have taught about Jesus instead of teaching that we need to come to know him by putting into practice his word. Amen. That a cross is what we've got to bear. The Apostle Paul said, I want to know Christ. I have a feeling if I asked you, do you want to know Christ? Everybody would say, yes, I want to know Christ. But what about knowing about his suffering? What about conforming to his life? What about the power of his rising? Do you want to know that, church? Well, you have special children that will equip you and train you to go there. These special children are not for what I would say, and I want to say this to the church leaders. When I say church leaders, I'm including shepherds, either deacons, teachers. Watch yourself that you don't get it to the point about it being a church that serves the children. I want you to allow these children to train you. Because God chose them. He chose them. They are part of this body for a reason. And when you read in Romans, when you read in 1 Corinthians, it's one body. It's all in all. Everybody is here for a reason. And these special children are here, I believe, to equip you and to train you. I know we look at it a lot like, okay, we hope we get volunteers. I would like to see us as a body of Christ get to the point to realize that every ministry that we have needs to be an equipping and a training and a teaching mechanism to bring other people to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And yes, we have. I enjoyed singing with Michael this morning. Those are great songs. I enjoyed singing with you. I need that. That builds me up. That edifies me. But what happens Monday through Saturday? What happens when you have to completely get up in the middle of the night? Right now, we don't have overnight care. Megan doesn't sleep very well. Cammie and I have to sleep in two separate rooms because one is on a shift of getting up and turning her and changing her. And it goes on night after night after night. I don't know how many thousands of diapers that I've changed. I don't know. I've learned how to give shots. I've learned not to get queasy when you see a wound. But I tell you one thing, I wouldn't have it any other way. I will give up my sleep because I love my children. And I know the parents here are going through the same thing. Church, get involved. Get trained. Be a part. Be a part of whatever ministry's here. And if you say, well, that makes me feel uncomfortable, that's okay. When you feel uncomfortable is when you're going to grow. I don't have the gift. That's okay. That's where you can develop one. The gifts of the Spirit are not something that you just say, I get to pick and choose. The gift of the Spirit is that some of it comes more naturally than others. I've had to learn certain gifts. You know, I could say I don't have the gift of service. But yet when I follow Jesus, he calls me to serve. And so he puts me in uncomfortable situations in serving the poor of Hickory. I have people stopping by. Our building's right in the middle of a corridor of people going to a public housing to a bus route. I don't know how many times I have people stop in my office, and then they stop in with their children, and there's a wife or a mother with three or four children, no husband around, and they walk in, they say, can you assist us in any way? And I say, well, where's your husband? I don't have a husband. I'm a single mom. Can you help us? We're going to get evicted. And if, sadly enough, they come through at 3 o'clock and the eviction's going to happen at 5 o'clock. And where does your heart go? And what do you do? You pray with them. You're uncomfortable. But you let the Spirit lead you. We are not called to teach the ways of the church. We are called to teach the ways of Christ in becoming more like him. God chose these children. He chose them. We'll go ahead to the next slide. This is incredible. They are part of you. And he chose them. And I found a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that says, God chose those who are powerless to shame the powerful. Megan and Morgan, get me on my knees every day. And a message to parents, you are my heroes. I just need to, can I at least see where you're sitting? How many parents of these special children do we have? Praise God for you. You're in a furnace, and that furnace gets hot. In that furnace, you feel sometimes alone. And you just wonder if that fire is just going to consume you. Take Jesus into the furnace. And you're going to walk out. And not a hair on your arm is going to be singed. And then we're going to go to eternity. And I want a front row seat to watch Megan and Morgan walk across to the throne of God. That's what we're looking forward to. And we'll go through anything. Agape love. Agape love I needed to learn. I needed to learn the fruit of the Spirit. I needed to learn how to have joy in suffering. I needed to learn to have peace with God over giving me these girls that are gifts to train me and to teach me. They have made me a kinder person. God has molded me to be more gentle because you treat them with gentleness. And right now, he's working on me in self-control, because I have to at least admit, Cammie and I would tell you that we have gone to comfort, to food, to the point to where our health is now getting worse as our children are getting older. And with that, God's saying, I can give you the self-control. Now, hopefully next year when you see me, I would have practiced a lot of that between now and then. And message to the church, did you catch the message that God spoke through Braden in his reading? When you hear the call of God through Jesus, you are called to one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one spirit, one body, one God, the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And God is working through and in your special children. Let him speak to you and listen. There's a video that's been put together. You ready for it? Okay, I want to watch it. I want to watch this. This will be the first time I've seen this too, that the group here put this together. This introduced to you these equippers and these trainers. Okay, watch this. show what the world, show them and love them so that they can get to know God through you. It's been an honor and a privilege to be with you. Lord's willing, if he gives us another year, you guys will celebrate the 20th year. And I hope I can bring my whole family to be here. Just pray for us in Hickory. But I will have to tell you, God has drawn me closer to him through my trials. So don't have pity. Just have praise. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. There might be something in your life. You need to say, well, I might not have children that has needs to these extent. How's God going to train me? Well, get involved with them. Get involved in ministry. Get involved in where you can find comfort and strength from other brothers and sisters. And go out and show the world the love of Christ. But if you need to respond in any way, I believe the shepherds are going to meet right down here. I've asked Michael to sing a song that is very special to me. It's How Great Is Our God. 6 years ago when Megan, there was one night the doctor said, if she does not improve, she's not going to get better. You will lose her tonight. I prayed all night long. God's will would happen. And if I needed more training, give her back to me. And I needed more training. But the doctor said, it's incredible. I cannot put any words involved. She should have went last night. Her lungs are ridiculously awesome. And we told the doctor, that's only because we serve a ridiculously awesome God. This song that he's going to sing is special to me because when I get up and I don't feel I can make another step, I can't make it any longer. I'm too tired. I drive up to the parkway. I look over the mountains, and I sing this song. And I respond. If you need to respond this morning, we're going to sing this song together. Let's stand.